Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your practice energy this morning and your good company, as always. The title for this talk is, at the moment, self-sacrifice and self-harm. Are they the same or different? The Friday before last, on Earth Day, we had just started our retreat, and we talked a little bit about Earth Day, about the Earth, and the plight of the Earth. And unbeknownst to me at that time, I didn't know that on that day, this man Wynn Bruce went from where he lived in Colorado to the Supreme Court Plaza and set himself on fire and died. There was no manifesto that he left behind, no suicide note. However, his friends and family said that he was very upset about the condition of the world and climate change, and this was his protest. Buddhism has the reason I wanted to. There are probably endless reasons why one might talk about this, but it affected me deeply, and I felt that something we might want to talk about as a community is about the history in Buddhism of this kind of thing of self-immolation, of setting oneself on fire. It's kind of a long history of that with Buddhism. Some of you know about the famous photograph that was taken in 1963, Vietnam War era, of a Vietnamese monk who had set himself on fire in a busy street in Saigon. And it was to protest the government's treatment of Buddhists. It was shocking, and it was it didn't change much in terms of the political actions against Buddhists, but it's really sent shockwaves throughout the world. And of course, in Tibet, I mean, most of you know that there were hundreds of Tibetan monks who set themselves on fire in protest of the Chinese actions against Tibet. So I thought I'd look into this a little bit. It should be said clearly, I have no answers. I don't even have any understanding of this, really. But I do have some reflections that I'd like to share with you in the hopes that it can bring some of this to our consciousness and to our conversations. In reflecting on this incident, by the way, before I get into that part, I hadn't been reading the newspapers during retreat, but I saw that there was a discussion in the American Zen Teachers Association about this incident of when Bruce's setting himself on fire. And one of the Buddhist teachers was from this guy's sangha. And her first comments were to the effect that this was an extraordinary act of courage and self-sacrifice. And this sent off a ripple effect, a strong reaction of protest against this kind of commentary. So I looked into this history of self-immolation in Buddhism, and I came across this what I felt was a really straightforward look at the history of this self-immolation, and sort of even-keeled look at it. This was, I'll read it to you. This is a quote from Kim Hong-shan, a professor at Hankook University of Foreign Studies, South Korea. And this is what he had to say. Self-immolation refers to ascetic Buddhist practices that include the voluntary termination of one's life, or the offering of parts of one's body, usually by setting oneself ablaze. In the northern Mahayana and southern Theravadan Buddhist traditions, self-immolation has been considered a heroic bodhisattva act to end one's life with a spiritual motivation and strong sense of determination. In modern times, self-immolation is often used as an extreme form of protest or act of martyrdom. However, in early Indian Buddhism, self-immolation was not justifiable for the following reasons. First, self-immolation cuts short one's life, one's opportunity to attain liberation before having made proper use of one's life to its fullest potential. Second, self-immolation is a form of self-modification or severe asceticism because it causes extreme physical pain and may lead to death. Third, self-immolation is an act motivated by a craving for non-existence, the Sanskrit term vihavatan, and is rooted in the personality view, sakaya di, or ego view, atta di. Lastly, self-immolation goes against the concept of self-love, atapia, or self-affection, atakama, which is considered a necessary prerequisite for expressing loving kindness, metta, towards other beings. Thus, I can safely say that self-immolation is not in keeping with the original teachings of the Buddha, and that self-immolation cannot in any way be recognized as heroic or noble. So, you know, this raises the question, while some may look at it as a courageous bodhisattva act, is this courageous compassion? Or, as this quote that I read suggested, is it forgetting the original Buddha's teaching of the middle way in favor of extremities, of extreme asceticism? You know, one of our favorite 20th century modern day teachers, Thich Nhat Hanh, was known to have said that the self-immolation of that Buddhist monk in Vietnam, Quang Duc, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, he has been known to have said that that was not a suicide. Rather, it was a devotional act of embodied practice. And he said further, the importance is not to take one's life, but to burn. And this, I think, is in reference to the Buddhist teaching that is described as burning oneself up, in other words, letting go of the small self in order to attain the big self or the true self. For me, my heart feeling is that this is, it can be tragic and really painful to see where a poetic metaphor is taken literally. It's heartrending, really. Bottom line is, I suspect we will never know why this person killed himself, why he self-immolated. A Zen priest and friend of his said, it was not suicide, but a deeply fearless act of compassion to bring attention to climate crisis. Another friend believed that Wynne Bruce simply followed the logic of his convictions without flinching, deciding that the value of an individual life was negligible compared to the havoc we are rapidly and irrevocably bringing to our planet. One thing that I felt in reading these ideas about why Wynne Bruce set himself on fire is that the why isn't ever known, but what has happened is that it's quickly co-opted by others. What happens is rationalized and explained according to many different viewpoints. Bottom line, as I see it, and you know, this is something you can talk about in the breakout groups, self-harm harms the whole world. Self-harm, you know, according to our experiential insight of Buddhism, touches every corner of the cosmos. This is the law of karma. Harm causes harm. Interesting in this quote from one of his friends that what's referenced is the logic of his convictions. And a cautionary note about whenever we hear something like that, when you see the word convictions, it is already a cropped picture, as I was referencing in the short essay in the last newsletter. It's already, by definition, an individual's convictions are limited by a point of view. In other words, if we don't do A, B, or C, if we don't do it now, it's too late. There's no hope. I do respect and appreciate the urgency of the dilemmas that our world faces through climate change, through warfare, potential for annihilation of the planet, potential for who knows what. I do appreciate the urgency of our catastrophic world. But we also have to appreciate the urgency of don't know mind, of a before thinking mind. How quickly we go from fear, anxiety, despair, to a kind of closing of the door on potentiality, on possibility. So what comes to my mind is that in one person's sense of despair and urgency, he shut the door on his own life, and he also simultaneously shut the door on the life of the world. In his own, well, but who knows what his thinking was. But it's a cautionary tale for us that we should always leave the Dharma door open. Open to possibility. I think that, you know, in our practice, we talk about three main qualities that we need to embody: great trust, great courage, great commitment. So that trust piece, sometimes referred to as faith, is a trust in the potentiality of don't know, of a before thinking mind, of a before thinking cosmos. Fascinating it is to watch how there is one event and 10,000 other events interact with that in ways that we could never remotely imagine. And that somehow, in this teetering, constantly teetering world, there is recourse. There is awakening. There is transformation. Always happening. Great courage. Great trust. Great constancy will bring that to light for us as we practice. And it will unfold for the world. How quickly we go from a sense of despair and hopelessness to this is the world going to hell in a handbasket. But we can take a step back from that and say, this is the world tumbling into don't know. So deep Jizhang Bosal, Kuansan Bosal, for this one person, when Bruce, for his family, for his Sangha and friends, and for all of us that have just met him through his self-immolation, I hope, and really this, these things, when they happen, they have an effect, and it is almost always not the effect we intended, you know? Because it interacts with so many other factors that are unimaginable. So I wanted to talk about this so that we can take care of each other, so that we can find refuge in the Buddha's original teaching, in our original practice, as we are practicing it right now, ultimately in don't know mind. It takes a lot of courage, ultimately, to not know, to stay, to live, to open oneself up to possibility. So let's support each other in that and know that we embody change. We embody potentiality. The truth is, the world is in deep crisis. Problems do indeed seem insurmountable. But the truth is also that it's wider than we could possibly know. The realm of cause and effect, of change and flow, is wider than we could ever know. The realm of awakening is wider than we can ever know. And yet, it must be said, we do have agency. We do have choice. We do have work to do. We have effect. However, we do not control the outcome. So we let go, we let go, we let go. We try as best we can to see what is true. And then we try as best we can to find our fitting function. Just imagine, was it 4.5 billion years ago? You know, the Earth was formed by this, massive catastrophe of gravity and dust and gases and who knows what else. And out of that catastrophe, all kinds of other things emerged. And at one point in this vast history of time and space, how long ago was it? There was a point in time when there was this creature that lived in the sea, in the water of our planet. And it just took off flopping on these provisional, rudimentary limbs, half fins, half arms and legs, and started walking on land. Our ancestor, flopping around. And here we are, as human beings, so briefly having made our appearance. Who knows what happens next? So I'll leave it at that for my little talk.